Yes, God will take care of you as we think and contemplate and weep with those who weep for Cassie's family, and for Cass's family certainly grieve with them. And all the afflictions and sufferings of this world are difficult. As we have sung, and hopefully think about the words that we are singing in our praise to God. You know, help us, Lord, thy love to see, especially when things are very difficult, and try to see things from God's perspective and not our own perspective, for he created us in his image. He loved us so much that he sent his son to die on the cross for our sins. So he cares for us, but sometimes it doesn't seem that way when you are suffering so terribly. And this is where the devil will try to work on you to not trust and obey God. And these circumstances we've been studying in the book of Revelation concerning the beast. And we are either worshiping God or we're worshiping the beast. We're worshiping the devil, bowing down to his will. We want to bow down to God's will and have God's perspective. And as we go to his word, that's the only way we can all learn and understand. And as we get older, hopefully as we look at everything from God's perspective, for his ways and thoughts are much higher than our ways and thoughts. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Do you understand that? Do I understand that and have that perspective as we study the Word of God? As we read through the passage, Brett had read 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 through 7, but to reiterate in the 2 Corinthians letter, the scripture said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us, notice it, in all our affliction, so that we will be able to what? So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For just as the sufferings of Christ are ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. Everybody who is a faithful Christian understands that we are all going through sufferings in one way or another. And the whole thing about it is they aren't minor, they're in abundance. And so God's perspective on afflictions, let us learn first of all the passage which mentioned in the Bible class, 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12. The Apostle Paul is about to be executed for preaching the gospel of Christ. And he's trying to encourage Timothy, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. We studied as far as God breathed last week, and as far as the scriptures are going to be able to do that, as we mentioned there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul, encouraging the Thessalonian brethren, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, he said, therefore, when we could endure it no longer, we thought it best to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's fellow worker in the gospel of Christ, to strengthen and encourage you as to your faith. Why? So that no one will be disturbed by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we have been destined for this. For indeed, when we were with you, we kept telling you in advance that we were going to suffer affliction. And so it came to pass, as you know. For this reason, when I could endure it no longer, I also sent to find out about your faith, for fear that the tempter might have tempted you, and our labor would be in vain. You see the love and care and concern of the Apostle Paul in these circumstances. As he's going through these afflictions, and he's trying to encourage them, you're going to be going through afflictions. We were destined for this. We kept on telling you that. But sometimes we're surprised as we're going through afflictions and wonder, does God really take care of me, as we've sang? God will take care of you. Do we believe that? The Apostle Paul was concerned that the tempter would tempt them away from the faith. that they wouldn't trust and obey God because we're going through afflictions. Let us understand concerning God's perspective on afflictions. All Christians will suffer, but we should not allow that to be a stumbling block for our faith. As we think about faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of Christ. In Romans 10 verse 17. So why does God allow it? Why does a loving and caring God, see, who cares about his affliction, cares about people, why would he allow them to go through pain and through afflictions? Well, the psalmist said it very clearly in Psalm 119. In Psalm 119, we studied that last summer, Psalm 119. And Psalm 119 in verse 75. Psalm 119, verse 75. Can we say this with the psalmist also? I know, O Lord, that your judgments are righteous, and that in faithfulness you have afflicted me. What? In faithfulness you have afflicted me. God allows it for our benefit. The psalmist understood that. He understood that his judgments are righteous. He is holy and just and right all the time. He is loving and caring and kind and merciful. And here, as you notice here concerning what he says here, in faithfulness, you have afflicted me. God allows it to for our benefit. What is it going to do for us? It will help us to learn his will. Well, we mentioned the example of Jesus, not that he had to understand God's will, because he obeyed it perfectly. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. In Hebrews chapter 5, we see as he had come in the flesh and he was deity. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience from the things which he suffered. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation. Jesus understands suffering. He learned obedience in the flesh. He is the example for us of suffering, of understanding through that suffering. Going back to the psalmist and what he said in Psalm 119, a few verses before the last passage, in Psalm 119 in verse 67. Psalm 119, verse 67. The psalmist said these words, before I was afflicted, what happened? Can you think about a time in your life before you became a Christian? And remember, as you had gone through affliction and maybe were blaming God or cursing him or profaning his name, complaining and whining and moaning, maybe even got drunk. Maybe even hit somebody. All of these things. Before I was afflicted, the psalmist said, I went astray. If we got everything the way that we desire, everything the way that we want, would we think about God? Generally not. I recognize people are going through afflictions and they're still not thinking about God. But the whole thing is, as you look upon the psalmist and his focus and understanding, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But what? But now I keep your word. Didn't allow that to cause him to lose his faith in God. And as we think about his desire, his attitude, the realization, and hopefully we have that understanding concerning that, hey, afflictions help me to think about God's will and doing his will. In verse 71, a few verses later on, as you think about every single verse in Psalm 119 and talking about the word of God. In verse 71, can we say this with the psalmist? Can we truly say that? As we honestly examine our hearts, can we say, it is good for me that I was afflicted? Can we say that? It was good for me that I was afflicted. Why? That I may learn your statutes. Because when you think about that, as you look upon your life, how many people have come to realization concerning their sins and recognize God's love and care and mercy for them through the sacrifice of Christ and obeying the gospel, being baptized for the remission of sins and serving Him the rest of their lives? And it started with affliction. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I understand. Now I understand that it was good for me to suffer, that I may learn your statutes. God's perspective on affliction is what He's helping us. Let us learn. It will help us to learn His will. As you think about Jesus, what does He say to those who are weary and heavy laden in that familiar passage? What does He say? Forget about it. There's no hope for you. No, that's what the devil would have you to believe. Come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. And what? And learn from me. I am meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. God's perspective as you think about Christ and His suffering. I mean, because the whole thing is, if we allow this and not have the understanding of God's word, we know what's going to happen. We'll be worldly. We'll be complaining. We'll be whining. We'll be very likely getting drunk and try to put this misery out. And that's only going to make it worse and giving in to the devil. Are you learning His will? Am I learning His will in my afflictions and then say it was good for me so I can learn from your statutes? Why does God allow those things to happen on afflictions? In James chapter 1, please remember this passage the rest of your life. I think you'll appreciate it more and more to have the right perspective. This is what God wants us to help. If we don't have the right perspective on trials, very likely we're going to fail and we're going to fall. In James chapter 1, do we have this attitude and mindset concerning trials? What did He say as far as looking at that? He said, consider it all what? All joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. What? You know, the world looked at that and think, that's crazy. I'm supposed to look at my trials with joy? No, I'm looking at them with anger. I'm looking at it with frustration. Why is God allowing me to suffer this way? That's what the devil would want you to think. God's perspective, as we look to His word, we're supposed to consider it all joy. Not that we're a masochist, not that we're enjoying. Hey, we just enjoy suffering. We just enjoy pain and agony. No, it's because of the outcome. Because we're oftentimes focused on what we're going through at the time concerning the painful trial that we're going through. So we give God's perspective here in verse 3. What does He tell us concerning what we should know? Knowing that the testing of your faith does what for you? Produces endurance. And here's the key, verse 4. And let endurance have its perfect result. For what reason? So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It will take out all the dross concerning, hey, we're our sin and evil and corruption, all these things we have done against a holy and righteous God. And here we're going through this trial, and here, maybe it's as far as you're faithful. Isn't it interesting? The more faithful you are, very likely to hear, the more the trials are going to come. Each victory will help you some other to win. Remember that? And yield not to temptation. It will help you through the next trial as you have gone through your life. The testing of your faith produces endurance. Are you going to allow that endurance to work in your life and in my life? Because as you think about concerning our life here that we might be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing. What does that mean? It means that we'll be useful in the service of our Lord. Isn't it interesting? That's the first thing that he tells these brethren who are suffering in trials. And who does James give as an example by inspiration? Who is the example of suffering though being righteous? Who do we immediately think of? We think of Job, don't we? In James chapter 5, and the prophets of old, in James chapter 5, because he mentions them too, in James chapter 5, he says in verse 10, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. We count those blessed who endured. You have heard the endurance of Job, and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. You need to see what God is trying to help us to focus on the outcome, on not what we are going through, as we think about the testing of our faith and the trials and afflictions and the suffering. We wonder, why are we going through this? God tells us why. To understand that perspective and have that perspective here of the outcome here. We know about Job. We know about him being righteous and all the things that he had suffered through. We got 42 chapters on that book. What do we see of the outcome? Well, the Lord is mean and unmerciful. That's what the devil would want you to get out of Job. See, if you're righteous, see, you get all this. God is unmerciful. He's unkind. He doesn't care about you. That's what the devil would have you believe. But what is the outcome of you see that he's blessed more in the end than in the beginning? The outcome is the Lord is what? Full of compassion and is merciful. Here. And test our faith so that we can be useful in his service. Prepared for every good work he would have us to do in 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy, in that passage there. 2 Timothy 2, verse 21. What happens when we endure through sufferings? What is the result of that? In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we read that passage at the beginning, but this is the key passage as we talk about this. In 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Notice the latter part of verse 4. So that we will be able to comfort those who are in any affliction. How are we going to do that? With the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. When you have gone through those things and you have a new Christian or somebody who's not understanding, or as you see maybe some things being said, as Job said, some things against God, that how could that come out of a righteous person's mouth? When you're going through suffering and affliction, when you're going through those times, sometimes you must recognize concerning a Christian might say things that appear to be ungodly as you're going through suffering, through pain, and going through agony. And so we see the best thing the three friends did was sit for him with 7 days. I don't know what to say concerning somebody has lost a loved one. That's a difficult thing. I don't want to say the wrong thing. Well, can you pray for them? Comfort them? Can you be there and sit with them? Comfort them in any way and kind of let them lead the way as far as their comfort level. But just being there and praying for them, maybe the best thing that you can do. For just as the sufferings of Christ and ours in abundance, so also our comfort is abundant through Christ. But if we are afflicted, it's for your comfort and salvation. Or if we are comforted, it's for your comfort, which is effective in the patient enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer. And our hope for you is firmly grounded, knowing that as you are sharers of our suffering, so also you are sharers of our comfort. We don't want you to be unaware, brethren, that of our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength. Have you ever been there? At the point of death, I don't know if I'm going to survive this experience. This is where the Apostle Paul is at this period of time, because he said, so that we despaired even of life. He wanted the brethren to understand that. Verse 9, indeed we had the sentence of death within ourselves. For what reason? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and he will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. You also join in helping us through what? Through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons in our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. We can help others. You think about the prayers, and it helps us to trust in God more and more every single day. Because the Lord is compassionate and merciful when we're going through afflictions, when we're going through trials. It's going to help our faith to grow spiritually. When you think about, you know, helping your children through a crisis, a difficulty, a trial, and how sad and how tragic it is. When you think about those who are teenagers thinking about committing suicide, maybe you break up with a boyfriend or a girlfriend or something like that, or something that just seems to us just seem to be trivial, and they're thinking suicide. And we help them through those difficult times. And so they trust in us more because we're trusting in God. We're trusting in His Word. We're trusting in His love and His mercy. We've experienced that, and so we share that, all right, to comfort others. And then they'll be able to comfort others as they go through those afflictions also. But Stephen, the preacher, it's just, it's so overwhelming sometimes. Yeah, the devil wants you to think it's just overwhelming that you can't overcome. You ever had some kind of thorn in the flesh and prayed that it might be removed? God isn't hearing and answering my prayers. My prayers aren't getting going any higher than the ceiling. That's where the devil wants you to be. Is that the way you think when you're going through and God isn't hearing and answering my prayers? Who should we be immediately thinking of concerning a thorn in the flesh? Well, the Apostle Paul, right? The Apostle Paul prayed three times that his thorn in the flesh might be removed from him. What was the response from the Lord? My grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in strength. That's what we would like to think. No, God's power is perfected in weakness. In what? In weakness. Yet Paul complained about that response. Said, "Why we don't get that specific response, but we understand as we look upon God's perspective on afflictions and understand that, and if we're praying that it might be removed, and it isn't being removed, very likely it's for our good. So we might depend upon God. Because maybe if I wasn't afflicted, maybe I would go astray." As the psalmist understood that, it was good for me to be afflicted. I might learn your statutes and to learn what the Lord is saying here. In Philippians chapter 4, after all the experience of the Apostle Paul is going through, remember he's in prison at this period of time, he talks about the secret of being content. And you think about the Apostle Paul saying, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I can do anything through Christ. God's grace is enough for you, and God's grace is enough for me. So the question is, how do you respond when you're afflicted? Look at the Apostle Paul's response in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, would this be our response? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, right after he said, power is perfected in weakness. God's grace is enough. Well, I should say the latter part of verse 9 going into verse 10. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties. For Christ's sake. Notice it isn't because he's rebellious, he's evil, he's wicked. No, this is for Christ's sake that he's talking about here. For when I am weak, then I am strong. So what is your response? Thorn in the flesh that you might have. Suffering. Are you satisfied or frustrated in your weakness concerning what you're going through? Because the whole thing is, you look upon God's perspective on trials, not our own, because you look upon the world and you talk to worldly friends as you're going through different things, and what are they going to tell you? Let's go out and get drunk, you know. Let's do something sinful, evil, or commit suicide, just and the pain and agony. That's only the beginning. The whole thing is you look upon having that perspective. The Apostle Paul recognized, when I am weak, then I am strong. That's what we need to recognize. When I'm weak, I am strong. I'm strong spiritually because I'm putting on the whole armor of God so I might stand firm against the schemes of the devil. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul says these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 in verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not ourselves, and not from ourselves. Brett emphasized this at the end of the lesson in the book of Revelation. Concerning the power of God and not from ourselves. When I think back to earlier in my life, I think that's the difficulty, because I can do everything in my own strength. What do I need God for? You need God to help you through. We have this treasure. We have this treasure. We have this treasure in you. The power will be of God, not from ourselves. Verse 8, what did he say? Did Paul live a cushy life? Like the life of false teachers and the TV evangelist, living in mansions, flying in jets everywhere in the world, going to the best places? No. He said we are afflicted in every way. What was his response? He said, but not crushed. Perplexed. Have you ever been perplexed as you think about being a faithful Christian? I've been perplexed by what you see. But are you despairing about that? No. The Apostle Paul wasn't, but not despairing. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are constantly being delivered over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So death works in us, but life in you. Are you trusting God more or less when you are afflicted as you're going through it? Powerful passage, Proverbs 3, verse 5 through 7. Remember the rest of your life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all of it. Do not lean on your own understanding. That's when we get in trouble. We get in trouble when we lean on our own understanding, don't we? In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? What's the promise? He will direct your paths. What have we got to do? Don't be a wise guy. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. Trust in God. Trust in his promises. Are you trusting in God more or less? What about concerning your prayers? We're told, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, what? By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Let it be known to God. As you think about concerning the children, concerning as they have requests for us, If possible, we want to grant those requests. We understand if it's a fleshly thing, and hopefully be able to discern, hey, some things we have to say no to. That isn't good for you. What about our Heavenly Father? He's perfect. Don't have to worry about it. If it's bothering you, pray. Pray about it. What is the promise of God in response? And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, all the way that we might understand it might turn on, it surpasses all comprehension. What is that going to do for you? It shall guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. You worried about food, clothing, and shelter? How am I going to provide for my family? Well, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. All those things shall be added to you. That's the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things. God is going to provide the necessities of life. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own, doesn't it? So why borrow tomorrow's troubles today? Are you praying fervently when you're afflicted? Praying fervently for help? Or are you worrying about it? And the more you worry as you think about your teenage son or teenage daughter driving and they're not back, and it's getting later and later, and you're wondering if they died in a tragic accident. Worried about things you can't. Are you praying about that? Or are you allowing that worry to just destroy your soul and your life? Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about tomorrow. God has promised to provide grace and mercy to help you in your time of need through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He cares about you. Hebrews 4:14-16. What about, so how do you look upon your trials? Are you joyful in your trials, or are you miserable in your trials? We're told, as you think about even going through persecution, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you, when you are insulted for the cause of Christ, when you're persecuted. Because the whole thing is we look upon trials and, hey, if there's no resurrection, let us eat, drink, and be merry. Doesn't matter. If we hoped in this life only, we're of all people most to be pitied. Why? But we're looking beyond that. We understand concerning God's perspective to be joyful in trials. Are you joyful in your trials? Or are you miserable? That doesn't mean that you don't have any. Well, preacher, yeah, you don't care about any emotions or any feelings or anything. I understand concerning maybe the initial shock and everything. That might take some time. I'm not saying that. I'm trying to say what the outcome as you're going through that. And you have God's perspective. So we're going to be praying and understand this is going to help me spiritually. It's going to help me. Help me spiritually. I'm going to be able to help others too. To trust and obey God in those circumstances. Are you like Job, who when he had lost everything, he hadn't lost his health yet. Are you be like Job when he even lost all of his children tragically? You're the worship of God? Are you still praising God? Naked I came from my mother's womb. Naked I'm going to return. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because what did Satan want him to do? Satan wanted him to curse God and blame him. He didn't do that. He continued to praise God. We're told do everything without complaining or arguing, no matter what it is. Are you still praising God when you're afflicted? Or are you complaining about that? Are you helping or hindering others in their distress? You look upon your spouse. Wonderful to have a faithful spouse to help you. Job was all alone because his wife told him to do exactly what Satan said. And as we talked about in the last hour, as Brother mentioned last hour, Satan works through people. And he's oftentimes going to work those who are closest to you. And that's so very hurtful. Well, you look in Job 2 and verse 9. How'd you look on Job dealing with that when he says, curse God and die? Job chapter 2. In Job chapter 2. After he lost his health and everything, and he's in misery, the wife said to him, do you still hold fast your integrity? Curse God and die. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God and not accept adversity? In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Do we forget that when we are going through affliction? Forget about all the good that God has done and allow the devil to have his perspective and destroy our faith in God who loves us and cares about us. And wants us to pass the test. But it's our choice, ultimately. You look upon his friends. We mentioned before, the best thing they did was, when they saw he was in great pain, they sat with him for 7 days. But then, the religious assumptions of what they thought, that basically if you have committed some sort of sin, it must be, if you're suffering so terribly, you must have committed some kind of great sin. And that was wrong. And he would say in response to his friends, I have heard many such things. Sorry comforters are you all. Sorry comforters are you all. We can learn, as you think about dealing with individuals, not how to deal with individuals and their suffering. Weep with those who weep. Romans 12 verse 15 talks about. As you think about concerning the devil and how he works, want to have division in the body, that the eye and the ear and the mouth and hand and arm and feet in opposition to one another. Well, we are parts of the body of Christ. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it's talking about the different parts of the body. In a figurative sense, is being part of the spiritual body of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, go to the end of verse 24. God has so composed the body, given more abundant honor to that member which lacked. So that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have what? The same care for one another. That comes from Christ our head, right? Christ is the head, we are the body. We may have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Are we doing that right now? Suffer with the members of our body? If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Are you helping or hindering others in their distress? Well, God wants you to be saved and serve him. What does afflictions do for us? It helps us to realize the need for God and to seek the only solution for the forgiveness of our sins in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Jesus is the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. He understands all about suffering and that cruel and agonizing death so that you can be forgiven of your sins. The gospel being preached to every creature. You believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God, have the godly sorrow that would lead you to repentance. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you're a Christian that's guilty of sin, and basically, maybe as you think about the afflictions, I didn't handle that the right way. As a Christian, you can repent and confess your sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if you need to obey the gospel, you need to be baptized for the remission of your sins. You need the prayers of the congregation. You need to be restored. Remember that in the end, God is going to deliver the faithful saint out of all afflictions. The Thessalonian brethren were suffering through afflictions. God's going to comfort them in the end. But to those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel will be punished with everlasting destruction. Don't let that be you. Obey the gospel. The saints will be in glory, being comforted. What about you? Obey the gospel or be restored while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.